Shangyo
Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings. With that kind of bodhicitta motivation, that we should all participate in this teaching.
As
I often remind all of ourselves, that it's very important for us to reflect upon the reasons why we need to cultivate spirituality, or what we call dharma, in our life. Or in other words, we are talking about pros and cons of practicing or not practicing dharma. So it's very important for us to understand and to reflect upon the reasons why dharma or spirituality is so important in our life. So relatedly, we need to understand what kinds of results that we would be able to accomplish through the practice of dharma.
If
we cultivate pure spirituality or dharma, then we would be able to accomplish many different types or levels of results or outcomes. At the very highest level, we could become a fully enlightened being or Buddha. So Buddha's enlightened beings are the results of having practiced pure spirituality or dharma. And then we also have bodhisattvas on different spiritual paths and grounds. And these bodhisattvas have tremendous realizations in their mind, which are all outcomes or the results of practicing pure dharma or spirituality. And then we also have realized beings of Shirvaka Yan, or the hearer's vehicle, and solitary realizers, or the Pratyeka Buddha Yan. And these realized beings are also the results or the outcomes of practicing dharma purely.
In essence, those
who have been able to find a nirvana or a liberation, a state in which you know, they have found lasting peace and happiness, and they have abandoned for good suffering and its causes. And above that level, those who have achieved complete enlightened state or Buddhahood, the state in which one has, you know, all the, you know, peace, happiness, and the best of everything, and one is endowed with all the remarkable qualities, and one is completely and absolutely free of all defilements and negativities. And so all of these are, in other words, nirvana or liberation and enlightenment and Buddhahood are the outcomes or the results of cultivating spirituality purely.
Da tungi pad me banyong gaye, kowe neel chamne. Tungi pad me banyong gaye, karre shoms na rang diva saane chhe madhu bichenche shombares.
So if those are the outcomes or the results of you know, practicing dharma or spirituality purely, then what are the demerits or the disadvantages of not practicing dharma or getting involved in negativities? Now, all kinds of suffering that we and others experience and encounter in our lives, and wandering in different states of samsara or cyclical existence, are the results or the outcomes of negativities that we and others do and accumulate. So negativities lead to suffering and more suffering. So negativities, you know, occur because of not cultivating or practicing spirituality.
So the ngaranso karin degu erse na tu tad ne liba te kibu jin degu dovas dunge zan degu men dovas. Tende so the ta chu lugu ete jochid ha kosomas.
In simple terms, that all of us wants, you know, to be happy, to have peace of mind, and to have best of everything. What we really don't want is any kind of difficulty, problem, and suffering. And these are the reasons why we need to study and practice dharma or spirituality. So in our world, we have, you know, many rich spiritual traditions, and the tradition that I represent and I'm trying to transmit to you is that of the historical Buddha Shakyamuni. So we are following Buddha Shakyamuni's, you know, teaching or spirituality.
That Zambiling na chulu mangbo yare chulu kandi chingi na ya, dan sengi yen la pento yoba chito chagores.
I believe that all the spiritual traditions that we have in our world are, you know, meant to be of benefits to sentient
beings.
So we have, in other words, a variety of spiritual traditions available in our world, and it is up to us as individuals to find out what kind of spirituality you know, suits our predispositions, our capacities, and our needs.
That Sanje Chu and Dusin Shemena, that can a Chu Duguare, Chu Dugue, Chu Duguare, Sonsa, do be thinking about the Yabujiraguaris.
In the Buddha's teaching, so much emphasis is put on to, of course, spiritual education, and more emphasis is laid on cultivating spirituality, or what we call implementing the teaching, or practicing the teaching. And so to be able to practice teachings, we have to find what we call a suitable life basis, you know, that enables us to engage in the study and practice of Buddha's teaching. So we have many forms of life in the universe, or the life basis. Of them all, the best kind of life that one could have to practice Dharma or spirituality is, as a matter of fact, precious human life that all of us have right now. Our precious human life is characterized by 8 freedoms and 10 enriching factors, 18 wonderful qualities, and because of which this life is the most suitable life basis for cultivating spirituality. Relatively speaking, that because of this precious human life, we have the resources and opportunities at our disposal to be able to practice Dharma. Relatively speaking, we encounter less obstacles to engage in spiritual practice. So in terms of this, this human life has a tremendous potentiality and has all the opportunities that one could think of to cultivate spirituality. If we think deeply, this precious human life is much more precious than any precious stone or a gem that is known to our world. Or even like thinking in terms of money, even if someone were to have $1 billion, but this precious life is much more precious than having $1 billion in one's account. So then, of course, we want to investigate the reason why this precious human life is much more precious than any precious gem or even tremendous amount of dollars in one's account. Now, as I mentioned before, that deep down inside us, what we all want is lasting peace and happiness. And what we don't want is any kind of problem and suffering. Now, these aspirations or the innate wishes that we all have could be accomplished through cultivating spirituality. One could have billions of dollars in one's account, but after all, you can't shop around for happiness. You can't shop around for peace. Yeah? And so these are not marketable realizations that people can go and then put a price tag on them, and then those with the money can go home with their trophies. That's not how it works. Peace and happiness are to be found through spiritual cultivation, and to be able to end any kind of problem, suffering, we must cultivate a spirituality. So we all have this innate wish that we don't like suffering and we don't want suffering. But what's also important for us is to find out what brings us suffering. What is the source of problems and sufferings that we don't want?
jume jota che me ba shung ma res jota che ge de shung yo res so ta ti ka ne shung de se che go res
suffering could not have come without causes and conditions. That's just impossible. That is not in the law of nature. Suffering is the result of its causes and conditions, and it is important for us to investigate what brings us suffering.
Pe na ane doctor ge ane ta neba chog tak che shi du sa ne de kan ne sung de ko de me de ge shung sa ge shung se de da ne de ge ju de tsa wa ge go de me tang go re sma to ane ne de ge shung se tsa wa ma ge na de ne de de do thug mon de wa de nang ge re.
Just to give a very common example that anybody could relate to here is so when we get sick, we go to see a doctor. What the doctor does is diagnosis our situation. And what the diagnosis involves is finding out what has caused whatever the health issue that we have. Okay? So once that cause has been identified and recognized, then the doctor can prescribe the right kind of treatment or the medicine to get rid of the suffering. But if you don't address the very cause of the sickness, there's really no way to be free from that sickness, you know, for good. So this is the same idea here, that to be able to put an end to suffering, we have to find out its causes. So as we investigate what really brings problems and sufferings that we don't want, what are the real causes of suffering that we encounter, what we come to see is this, that contaminated karmic actions and deluded states of mind or afflictive emotions, these are the two primary causes of suffering.
So the car is not that Tangarazo in the Sano Tonditaniki, Dungation, where the she chains Zakan Samata, Antaraniki, she chained in Shumachi, some don't wear of us. The Maritic, Chamber Marti, the touch chains and your race. That Shunsa Sawa car is no later Yomunin Sunguer.
In our usual way of thinking, when we encounter problems, we attribute these problems to some external causes and conditions. You know, if I get sick, or maybe I ate the wrong food, that's the food problem, or whatever other things. Yes, that food is actually not a real cause of one's sickness, but that is a contributing factor or what we call a condition. But the real cause of our sicknesses or any kind of problems is actually negative karmas that we ourselves have created and accumulated, and add to that the delusions, the deluded states of mind that we have. So those are the real causes of our problems.
That less yet karres na nyomun pe ranju le yep nyomun ba ti ani kun han ne ani yen senji yen na ba shi yet senji yen ani pe so che bata ta kan ji so che bata sen ji yin ji ma ji la bata ane de lo che bata ta ga ni zu cha ma zu zu nga che yi ji go na sen ne sen lo da zo de sen ni sen ji yin la ne pe ri ta rang lu nga yi su ne pe ri ka de ji she na ta ti ane le de re sta.
Now how is that karmic actions are the real causes of our problems, if you ask? Now, motivated by or as deluded states of mind, that we engage in negativities of all kinds, you just name it. We go to the extent of killing someone, or we go and steal things which belong to others, or that we go and deceive and cheat and lie to others, all that we engage in adultery and sexual misconducts, all that we engage in idle gossiping, that we covet for others' goods and things, that we hold malicious intentions towards others, that we hold distorted views and so forth. So all this and many more negativities that we do and accumulate physically, verbally, and mentally are the real causes of our problems and suffering.
That tends to ane migi late nzo kal ten kang ten shumre sen da ranjili yepi ranjili yepi nyemo bati kun lan shumre
s. So then if we say that if we find ourselves engaging in these negativities, what makes us do that? You know, who or what is instigating us to do these things? You know, this is where when we go deep down inside our afflictive emotions or the delusions called kleshas in Sanskrit, nyurmam in Tibetan, are the real culprits. You see, deluded states of mind prompt us, instigate us, motivate us, push us, force us, you know, trick us to do negativities.
So that the rangjili opinion was the young thing, rangjili opinion was hakogres, karajan de chatan, hedan, that the mood sourish. And it tells some. Ani ta chado ta tawal loba ta tindi mangbu chiyar was je tenzu le myomo sege myomo ma tenzu ke ani kuni hani le sa ki yores.
So what are delusions, you know, and whose delusions, if you ask? Of course we are talking about delusions in our own mind. We are really looking inwardly. We are not looking at somebody's delusions, okay? We are talking about my delusions or one's own delusions. And we have so many of them. For example, we have attachment. We have anger or hatred. And of course, deep down, we have ignorance, avidya. And we have jealousy. We have arrogance. We have distorted views. And we have diluted doubts. And there are many more. So these diluted states of mind you know, often to motivate us and you know, push us into negativities.
That tenzu zhong zha ta tenzu ge ta nyomo ye tan ji zao ta nyomo mangbo ji yo res. Ben nyomo mangbo yo de yin tenzu zao de kar res de zao de ne dang ji ma ri ba de cha yo res.
So if we were to make a list of delusions, it would be a tremendously long list. But when we look at what is the root delusion, you know, if you could pick one, we say this is the delusion from which everything else arises, then we identify our grasping at self, Dakzin in Tibetan. Self-grasping is the delusion from which all other delusions pop up.
So that Dangzi Maripati Rang ပဲစေကျေပဲကျေထုတ်ပြီးနော်အနေညွှန်မကင်းချမလို့တန်ကားကြီးခရစ်တမှုကျွံပြီးကျွံပြီးကျစီချင်းဘောဖဝလာဆုံးတော့တမှုကျွံပြီးကျွံပြီးကျစ်ရန်ဂျူလီယေပဲဒန်းစီမရပတ်ကဒီမေဘဇောတုစနာအနေညွှန်မကင်းချမလို့တန်ကျွံထုတ်ရပဲနာရှင်းနေရှင်းကစားဝတ်ကောပြီးနော်ရာကတော့ဒုံဘုံထားမှန်ဘူးရနေကိုတန်စီတန်စီညံတဲ့ရှုမေဘချာကြီးရပါစတန်နိုင်ရစ်.
So it is our job as spiritual practitioners to find out what is self-grasping. What is it? You know, that is our job, to investigate and find out. And once we find it out and we apply antidote to counteract it and to eliminate it for good, once that self-grasping is eliminated from within our mind, then all other delusions will automatically, you know, cease to exist. And why? Because as I said, self-grasping is the source of all other delusions. And this is precisely what the great Indian Buddhist master Aryadeva, you know, the main disciple of Arya Nagarjuna, you know, states in his work. And Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory. He said, "Timu chombe chombur yur." If you destroy ignorance, which is the self-grasping here, you would have destroyed everything else, meaning all other delusions. And so now how this works is, if we want, we don't like a particular tree, you know, it has too many branches, it's bothering us like anything. The only way to get rid of this tree for good is to uproot the tree, you know, not to trim the branches and the leaves, you know, because they will keep on coming back. But once you take the tree from its very root, well, the trunk will die. The branches here, doesn't matter, thousands and billions of branches, you know, they will die, you know. And so nothing will grow back. This is the same. Once we get rid of, uproot, self-grasping, then all other delusions, how many they are, who cares? You know, they cannot come back.
That's the current is the sound tongues. When so many mangas yet are rangish to benzine, pay to digita, and you change it, but it changed in the show my that gene zinchine, that till a chani, and a yin rang around a pair, ransolo cha yin solo downwata. That in some of you met any.
So let's take a moment to think about who am I, or what is self? Okay, how do we perceive, you know, self or I to exist? You know, when we really try to find that one out, what we come to see is we as ordinary people perceive I or self to exist as if it exists in and of itself, independently. You know, it's not dependent on any causes and conditions. It's just like fixed and right there, you know, from its own side. It's almost say, hello, I'm here. Okay, that's me. Okay, but the fact of the matter is, there is no such thing as a self that exists in and of itself or inherently. There is no such thing that, hey, I'm here, look at me. There is no such independently existent self or I. And so what has happened with us is we misperceive the self or I to exist in and of itself independently. And then we are very much attached to it. And then people who are kind of nice to us or the self, then we consider them as our friends, and now we are buddy-buddy, and we are going to, you know, hang out or whatever, you know, get attached to them. And then people who don't like us, we say, okay, these are the enemies of my enemies or enemies of the self, so I'm going to hate them, or I'm going to whatever I need to do to defeat them. So we just kind of get caught up in this game, you know, of, defeating the enemies and cherishing what we see as dear and near ones. So this is how we get caught up in this network of self-grasping. So it's very important for us to find out the way in which we perceive I or the self to exist, which I just said is in and of itself, and then investigate whether the self does exist in that way or not. Is that the way it really exists? No, it doesn't.
Rangshola, pena nganga chimbe, pena reeta rang le chengo kasi chi chamba nganga sanya ko chamba tang chagwa kasi chi chebe yena ta tiapran zimbi kinsi kani chi mang shu kesun kani chi chamba yena shu chamba sungi mangke ane yen yavar tor rang tiapran zimte yen yavar tor dite yen na besi eta ta ande kete mige vile mangpo chi dosa ti wangke ti rang dungen yong kuyo res sonsa.
So here is the formula, you know, that explains all kinds of sufferings that we don't want, but yet we run into them. Okay? So what happens is that, you know, we as ordinary people or beings, we misperceive ourselves or self or I to exist independently, objectively, in and of itself. Yeah, as if it is not dependent on anything else at all. And now we grasp at that particular notion of self, and we cherish it like anything, which is called self-cherishing attitude. So when we have too much of self-cherishing attitude, what happens? Then we really don't care about everybody else, you know, who cares? Because they are not me, you know. And I mean, so we started to be indifferent to others, and we also don't care about others. So if we don't care about others, then we find ourselves engaging in actions which are only beneficial to the self, and that might even harm and hurt others. But we say, who cares? Okay? In our mind, we may not say that verbally. Okay? And so when we do negativities, then of course these negativities produce negative results or a suffering. So this is the formula of the suffering, how everything goes back to self-grasping, you know, how everything starts from self-grasping.
So that I'm kanyi san do sine so so zupun te tang ngai bisan ne stang this is the maris.
I think many people, as they started to look for who am I or what is self, then they somehow end up saying, okay, this body that I have, so this is me. Okay? So I and the self is nothing but this body, this figure that I have. So they said, you know what, I couldn't be something that exists outside my body right there, or it's different from the body. So I is basically what my body is. But is one's body I or the self? Well, it really is not, if we, you know, analyze it. So what is I, and how does it really exist, I or self? I'm using them as synonyms here, right? I or self. Okay. But how I or self really exists is just a mere label. It is just a label that is given onto a collection of our physical and mental aggregates. That's all there is to it. Okay? And each of us has got five what we call skandhas, or the aggregates. We have the aggregate of the form, aggregate of feelings, aggregate of discriminations, aggregate of compositional factors, and aggregate of consciousness. Okay? So based upon the collection of these, you know, psychosomatic aggregates or physical and mental aggregates, I or self is simply labeled onto it. And that's how it is. There's nothing more, nothing less. It's just a label on a collection of physical and mental aggregates. So understanding, you know, this, what I just explained in a very few, you know, words, is understanding what selflessness is. Selflessness, understanding or realizing selflessness, is the antidote to get rid of self-grasping. Once we understand what selflessness is, then we can understand that there is no such a self that exists in and of itself or independently. So every Sunday, all of us coming here together from different directions, part of the reasons for doing this is to be able to understand or realize what selflessness is.
So that, that's one. Oh yeah. So then, damit abe khirete, khirete ane rangjul chibi tab tabres. Da show kini chigi na da tezam ni duyu amaris. Tezam jo ane rang kovale chowa ta dungi lekne le ta thugu arde. Yena singe yiji tanda jobala tezam ni duyu amaris.
So I said that is a part of the reason why we come, you know, here on Sundays and get together and engage in spirituality. Why part of the reason? Because this is not the whole reason. See? Why? Then we should ask the question to ourselves, is it enough for me alone to be free from samsara, right, and be in the complete freedom state? And then I can say hallelujah. You see, this is it. Okay? No, that's not the end of the story. Okay? I mean, you know, we have interconnections with all other sentient beings, so how dare or can we not think about them or care about other sentient beings.
So that tatel garigo gersana ane shangyu sem ranju che bitab che gures.
So as we see these connections between us and all other sentient beings, then we find the grounds why we need to care for them and why we need to cultivate altruistic state of mind. You know, altruism, or what in Sanskrit called bodhicitta, why we must cultivate bodhicitta.
That's Shamji Sen Ranju Chevi Tap Kare Sena, Sengila, Sengia Tam Gila, maybe Shamba Chambata, and he Chamber Ranju Chevu.
So, what else is involved in cultivating bodhicitta? And is it simply like, okay, I want to become a Buddha for the sake of sentient being, as if that is going to do all the magic? No. It involves a process. Okay? The process involves other elements. We must cultivate great love, Maha Maitri, Champa Chimpo in Tibetan, and Maha Karuna, or great compassion, or Nyingzi Chimpo in Tibetan. These positive attitudes must be cultivated first in order to experience what bodhicitta is.
That thing is an anya, that le, Nyingzi Chimpo Ranjuri Sheba, and the Sengkhya Lama be Champa Chimpo Ranjuri Sheba.
And again, before we could have compassion, great compassion for others, we, I think, need to cultivate great love for others. So why must one cultivate great love before great compassion? Here is the reason. When we check with our own ordinary experiences, you know, you may have, you know, your own family and children, or at least you may have someone who is very dear and near to you. Okay? So because we love, you know, these people or beings, we always want them to be happy, don't we? Right? But once they run into problems, you know, we find it unbearable. We very much wish them to be free from the problems. We really care about them, you see. The more they are in problems, the more it hurts us, because we care about them, see. So this is the same thing. As we cultivate great love for sentient beings, now we see all of them to be very dear and close to us. So why, and now when these close, dear and near ones are in problem suffering, we can't tolerate it anymore. You see, this is why we really wish them to be out of this problem as soon as possible, ASAP. Okay? So this is how great love really facilitates cultivating great compassion. So then what else is involved in cultivating love for sentient beings? Of course, we want to you know, reflect upon how sentient beings have been very kind to us. Okay? Then we will feel the connection with them, right? We feel close to them. And as I mentioned earlier, that we have this close bond or connections with sentient beings. In the Buddhist literatures, we often talk about how all sentient beings have been our kind parents, moms and dads. Okay? Now we can think about brothers and sisters, or you know, any other relationships. So every sentient being has become our mom, dad, brother, sister, or any other important person in our lives. So we have that kind of connection, and they have been very kind to us in their ways. Now this kind of a logic and a thinking is of course based on an assumption that there is life before and life after. As a matter of fact, many, countless, right? If we only confine to this lifetime, this is it and nothing before, nothing after, well, it makes no sense that, you know, we all sentient beings have become our mom and dad. Well, they are not in this life. I mean, who are we kidding? You know? So it doesn't work. So this is based on the assumption that there are lives before, have been lives before, and there will be many more lives after. So based upon this theory of life before and after, we talk about our interconnection with sentient beings.
yuezang di chebres. Zezang sengi yin aten rang la bishi kandiki yin aten sengi yin aten yungu gyores.
If we think deeply, I mean, we will be able to appreciate, the fact that other sentient beings exist. Okay, all our happiness and goodness come through other sentient beings or interaction with them through their, help. Okay, if other sentient beings don't exist, we would be devoid of or deprived of many good things in our life and happiness and things that we talk about. So the fact that other sentient beings exist, that they function, that they, we have interconnections with them, we have interactions with them, brings us all kind of comforts and happiness and good things.
Dusak ne saya saya tunya ko atan samalo sinji yen ten yen ji kadin ten jumar es to yen mena ran ti wi na ta ten lu yong thoe ya mar es.
So even basic necessities of life, food, clothing, shelter, all of this, we could have because of the kindness of other sentient beings, right? If others don't exist, just imagine we are alone, just nobody else around us. Can we provide all of these things to ourselves? You see, we don't grow food, Well, Kishilu didn't say that, but just to make my point. Right? We don't make our own clothes. We don't build our own houses, and most of us don't. Yeah? So some people are building and helping us in providing all these things. So we really need to appreciate their existence and their role in our life. So the point I'm trying to make is that our peace and happiness and comforts are very much related to the fact that others exist, other sentient beings exist, and they perform important roles in our life. So now we might, as we are thinking along this line, then we might come to a stage, we said, but what relation do I have with these small insects and use this, all of these things? What important role do they really play in my life? Okay. Well, from spirituality point of view, without these small insects, there is no way for us to cultivate great love, great compassion in bodhicitta, because they are very much part of sentient beings. Okay? And this is where they become very important to us. In the footnote, you ask the scientists, they are very much part of our ecosystem, without which, we can't exist. Well, this is my footnote.
Ecosystem, what is
it? So the point I'm trying to drive home here is a very simple but yet very profound one, that because sentient beings have been so kind to us and we really need them, for this life and for our spiritual development, so we must not harm them or hurt them. So now let's try to recall what we were talking about last week. Of course, there are some new people, so you, of course, are excused from this. You were not here. But others, right? We were talking about, what must we do just to be able to, be counted as a Dharma practitioner. The least qualification that one should have to say, okay, I am, a practitioner of Dharma. What we talked about is that one must not harm or hurt any sentient being. That is the minimum least qualification we talked about to be a spiritual practitioner.
And the never mashe be tall, like Karagurus, and the Yin Pember do it, Rivas.
So if we want to be better than that, or go a little level above that, you know, so what else do we need to do, remember? In addition to not hurting others, what do we need to do? Yeah, benefit others, right?
And that thing is actually
well, these are very, I think, you know, important guidelines and, you know, precious principles
to follow.
And of course, we want to raise ourselves to the highest level possible to be Dharma practitioners. Then in addition to these two things, don't hurt others, benefit others as much as we can, we need to cultivate a bodhicitta or bodhisattva's attitude, altruistic mind of enlightenment, and combine that with the wisdom gone beyond, or the perfection of wisdom, prajna paramita. Okay, so we need to combine bodhicitta and the wisdom together, and by doing that, so we are able to become the best practitioners.
And
so I also want you to think about the other points that you know we talked about last time. To continue from where we left off in this text called A Miscellaneous Collection of Kadamba Geshe's Personal Advices, Geshe Khara Gomchen, of course, he was talking to his students directly, but indirectly he's also talking to us or communicating to us. And he said that what really does not let us to be free from samsara, one of the factors is attachment. Okay, attachment binds us to samsara. And he said we must investigate the faults or the disadvantages of attachment.
So that things and rang rangile yepin de chatala rang shem mate na te nor res no chimbu res kan.
And according to the great Geshe, that if we don't make efforts to see what is wrong with attachment that we have inside us, then we are making a big mistake.
So that that's why Karita Guru na pen Ranjile me ye je so ache bata so ache bata marba achan chanse ti tholen de cha ngo sta singi te de cha wang ye so che bata hedang wang ye so che ta do cha wang ye ye so ta ten le jin ye so che ya ta me ge nyo mo ba mang bo ji thon de shi ka ka sing do was.
As I was talking about these things before, that we have so many delusions or afflictive emotions inside us which make us do many negativities. For example, out of ignorance, we might take the life of someone or kill someone. Okay? We can understand that. Or out of hatred or anger, kill someone. Or out of jealousy, we could kill someone. Or out of attachment, we could kill someone. So how, these different delusions could prompt us or motivate us to do such negativities? Not only that attachment could motivate us to kill someone, but attachment could motivate us to do other negativities, like, we go and steal things from others because of attachment. So out of attachment, we could be using our actions of body, speech, and mind to hurt or harm someone.
And out of
attachment, we could become very jealous, jealous of others.
No, that indeed, she mambo is a son of Pump, hip the Kalekalitangurus.
Of course, it needs a great deal of thinking, and also we need to make time to think about in what many ways attachment makes us do all sorts of negativities. One of the things we talk about is grasping at this life, very much grasping at this life, is also due to attachment. Great Tibetan Master Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa, who is also known as Jerimbuche, or Gyawar Loksan Thapa, said, as Geshe Lo quoted lines from his memory, that what really binds us to samsara is the lasso of attachment. The lasso of attachment binds us to samsara. And we might end up, fighting with someone, and then we realize it is because of attachment or out of attachment. So how does that work? We pick fights on others because we said what? Because so-and-so has been very nasty to my girlfriend or to my boyfriend, to my husband, to my wife, to my children, to my family member, to my good friends, you see. So therefore, he deserves to be, challenged or whatever. Use a nice word, but, deserve to, knock him out.
No sound. That's as easy. Okay. Ta kanji this one was Rangili Yepi. Ta the cha yin pesh batangi something jamas. Rangili Yepi. Rangili Yepi in the chatte. Ta shen chimbo yimbachi hako goris.
So once again I want to remind all of us that as we talk about what is wrong with attachment or any other delusions, again, we are not talking about, somebody's attachment or delusion, or as if there is a kind of a cosmic kind of attachment and anger right there, so we really talk about, what is wrong with it. We are not in cyberspace. We are really very much here on the ground and talking about what is inside me, and what is wrong with my attachment, what is wrong with my anger, jealousy, ignorance. So we are not talking about, somebody's attachment or those delusions. We are not talking about some kind of a universal, cybernetic kind of attachment up there, somewhere.
No, no. That's the difference. That's the difference. Give it our sin in your precious. Hedan, Hedan, and Shun Tagores. Hedan, and Shun to Martin, Rangulu, you be Hedan, and Rangulu, you be Hedan to Shun to Martin, nor Reskan.
And Khara Gomsen also continues to say that, if we don't think about what's wrong with hatred, Shedan, then it's also a big problem. We're making a big mistake. Why?
That Karres and Hedan, Hedan, the Rangulu Shumbayina.
Perhaps the biggest disadvantage of hatred is that it really destroys our roots of virtue or positive qualities. I mean, that is the big thing about our hatred. And so as a spiritual practitioners, who want to promote positive things and do positive things and enhance positive things, we have to guard ourselves against the hatred, because hatred can't completely uproot our roots of virtue and merits.
So that current is the wrong gets like you saw in the give it so under Jesus keep you connect in the savvy in the you the one yeah which is more imagine that he don't get it in jump to your jump to your.
So if hatred is such a vicious delusion that completely uproots our roots of virtue and merit, so what can we do, when we create merits? And how can we safeguard them, if that's the concern we have? Well, whatever virtues or positive things we do, small, big, middle, whatever degrees of good things we do, we must dedicate our merits, you know, for a good causes. Okay, so dedication is the practice with which we can save or safeguard our merits.
Rang getsa chinyu kandi chi savi ne gawa chinyu kandi shavi ne te sanje thangi jo sanje kompa to bi jur chuki sa tenga pa sam tangu res.
So let's say we accumulate a small teeny bini merit, or you know, a little big merit, or really big big merit, whatever the case may be. We should dedicate our merit to find a complete enlightened state for the sake of all other sentient beings. So when we do this kind of altruistic dedication, bodhisattva's kind of a dedication, then our merits remain safe.
That ne lana me bis lana me bas sat e and bazu bis chamju de ten dung hobe yina getsat in jam tu yam tem tu ya ten dol sung yaris.
As a matter of fact, it has been stated in sutras that once we do that kind of altruistic dedication of our positive actions and merits, those virtues and merits remain safe, and they could not be and cannot be destroyed by anger or other delusions.
That is correct. And the condition is that jitter janso chen na chudu lungs. Janso chen bago na na chui thukba chi lung bi na. Janso mazeb temezis. They chudu the any. Jansu ten dreni, jansu kyo ten dreni, jansu kora mazoe padu, kutu kame yuwa mares, ten segu mares, ten nangi yins kani.
So in a sutra it is stated, as Geshe-la quoted the relevant passages from his memory, which gives us a very nice example of how this really holds water, what we're just talking about, is that if we were to put a drop of water in ocean, so long as the ocean exists, okay, ocean doesn't dry up, that drop of water will exist, okay, until that time. So in the same way, when we altruistically dedicate our merit, you know, remains, you know, very safe. So as we talk about engaging in positive actions or virtues, we're also talking about, for example, actions such as helping someone. Okay, someone needs our help, and with good motivation, right? No hidden agenda. If we, with good motivation, we help someone, and then we dedicate that merit, you know, altruistically, that merit would remain very safe.
No, no, that anyway. That, that he you under it. That you under chapter king, kone kondo, kone kondo share meter king. Give it our name of a sheba ngajay bis. The ngajay la shen tangoris. Rang jule ngajay na ngajay the shen tangoris ngayabado. The yapo marriage samsiji.
Our next Kala Komchen tells us that we need to consider what is wrong with arrogance.
Tak te karre sena ranju le ngaje yo na yende sad chegu yo mare ane kumandu ko phe ala kagu yo des.
So we have so much arrogance then it really obstructs us from learning anything new. And also furthering our good qualities, or like increasing our knowledge and good qualities.
So the thing is, I just want to any year, but that conduct is not meant to that you think years are so long yet. Rang do we change your mind? Because I rang change your mind. My head not change your mind. But I just want to reach shundi. Shundi, any years are you think to long yet that do we make?
Machel or arrogance prevents us from appreciating goodness in others and others, you know, knowledge and good things. Because the arrogance assumes that, well, I have everything, even if one doesn't have everything or know everything, right? Because the arrogance had that mixed assumption, because I am, you know, I am the Lord or whatever. Okay, so, with that kind of attitude, one doesn't respect others, one doesn't appreciate the goodness in others, and one is not going to learn from others.
Understand? yundi ngaje te kyag sagi na chi kyag yindap chag yor che ta te kyag yos kyag kyag sagi kan le ne chi ndundap kari na ta saben karta ne shi shi ma rab te na hi chag yor
We have a saying in Tibetan that no grass of good qualities will grow on the iron surface, right? If you try to cultivate barley or rice, whatever you like, grains, on an iron surface, nothing's going to grow. It's just a waste of time and energy. Yeah. So just like that, on the surface, metaphorically speaking, on the iron surface of arrogance, one cannot cultivate the good crops of virtues.
So
respecting others or learning to respect others is a good antidote to counteract arrogance. Great Kadamba masters of the Geshes, the way they think is they always humble themselves to the extent they said that, I put myself at the lowest position possible. Everybody else, all sentient beings are above me and they respect them. So what is below me is this Mother Earth, and maybe underneath there is a water running. I don't know. Okay? So that's all there is. Below me, underneath me, but everybody else is above me and they elevate everybody else above them and respect them. That's the Kadamba Geshe's way of respecting others.
So
the things that we tread upon, like if we are walking on a path, well, that path can't be above us, right? Then how do we walk? We can't walk upside down. So the path has to be below us and it is under our feet, right? If we have to cross water, that water has to be underneath us because you can't put the water on top of you and cross the water. Yeah. So those are the only things below them, as the Kadamba Geshe would say, but everybody else is above them.
So
As it is stated elsewhere, that only enlightened beings and Buddhas can judge, who is who and who is, not who. But everybody else must suspend judging each other because they said you could make a terrible mistake. Because after all, we cannot really know or judge who is who. Okay, we don't have that omniscient knowledge yet. So we could make a terrible mistake in our evaluation and judgment. And so the best way for us is learn to respect everybody else, just including, children and babies and below that, insects. Okay? The small insects deserve our respect and our appreciation. But when I say respect everybody, I don't mean like everybody has to go and prostrate to the small insects or like that, Bodhisattvas have deep respect of all other sentient beings, and they really truly mean it from their hearts. And that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about, falling on all our limbs and prostrating to, everybody else. And because Bodhisattvas always, treat other sentient beings equally, they do not, get caught up in being attached to some and hate others or indifferent to others. You see, because they see all sentient beings as being equal and treat them equally. You see, that's why one of the prayers we do, may I be able to, let go my attachment, hatred, and indifferent attitude to sentient beings and be able to treat everybody, equally.
코나조 공부기 전에 이거 맞다. 신기랑 돈이한테 되면 용거로 와서 근데 제준도 되게 용거로 와서.
So from the perspective of Bodhisattvas, they regard all sentient beings as being equal, they appreciate them, and they respect them. But that does not mean that from the perspective of sentient beings, there are no variations. Of course, sentient beings have all kinds of variations. You know, some are more educated, some are less educated, some are rich, some are poor, some are healthy, some are sick, whatever. You know, all the variations exist among sentient beings. So we are not denying all that variations in sentient beings, but what we're talking about is, from our perspective, regardless of the variations among sentient beings, we should learn to respect them equally. So as we are able to see sentient beings equally and treat them equally, then this is how, you know, we find ourselves not hurting them and helping them wherever we can. And this is where we are going to stop today. I want to take this opportunity to announce something about myself, that I have been, you know, recently going for some medical test, you know, and so because of that, will not be able to teach, you know, Sunday for about a month, okay, 3 to 4 weeks, that's a month, I think, okay. But we will have, you know, Sunday teachings here, and Venerable Tenzin Khaju, who we call Anila, because now we have other Anilas too, so Ani Tenzin Khaju La, is going to teach Sundays.
Yeah. And
So I would encourage you, you know, to attend her teachings, because I believe that, you know, she's honest in what she teaches. And if she doesn't know anything, she will not talk about that. But she will talk about what she knows. So what she teaches will be in accordance with, you know, Dharma principles. So therefore, I think it would be good if you could come to her teachings. And then I think Wednesday evenings, I just kind of do teaching in my own English and do the conversation. But again, so for about a month, I won't be able to do the Wednesday evening teachings. But other schedules remain same, I think, because somebody need to correct me, okay, because I'm not in the whole loop of information here. I think you have something on Monday, right? There's something on Friday. Boy, there are too many things. So those all schedules exist, you know, so nothing has, you know, it's changed there.
Venerable Tarso and
So we have two venerables here, nuns, right? So Venerable Tarso sitting over there next to the camera, and Venerable Tenzin Khaju is somewhere else. And so they will, I mean, do the teachings and do the other schedules. Yeah, so they do the meditation, whatever you do on Monday, you know, so those schedules will, you know, continue. That's what I mean. I do want to, you know, emphasize this point that practicing Dharma is individual and personal responsibility. Okay, so by that, what I mean to say is, if you don't, let's say, we have something happening here, that doesn't mean now we don't have to practice. Okay. practice is what we have to do. It's a personal responsibility at home. If we couldn't come here, we have to practice at home, or we come here and practice. But practice we must. Okay, so that's the important thing. So whatever we know about Dharma, you know, it's important, actually more important to put that into practice or to, you know, to cultivate that. So with that, I have some prayer request here. Prayers have been requested for a number of people who have passed away, because these are identified, that's what I'm saying it. But they're unidentified ones, so I have to stay in the general thing. Prayers have been requested for Lee Thi Kim Khoi in Vietnam, passed away. Do Nguyen Hang, Do Nguyen Dai, Kim Van Dong, and so those have been passed away. And prayer has been requested for Michelle Chen, dealing with, I think, health issue. And prayers have been requested for Utako Owens, 75 years old, and James Lynch Jim. Let us dedicate our collective marriage for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other holy beings and masters, wherever they are in any part of the universe, live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality.
Last
but not least, we dedicate our positive energy, punya, merit, for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all reach complete enlightened state quickly.
Shabawa nyambawa me bawa tang,
I would personally like to kind of ask you to save your prostrations for Geshe-la's, you know, returning to us and giving teachings. Okay, so traditionally we, you know, don't need to do prostrations, so we can create positive conditions, you know, for him to be able to teach us again soon. And then I believe Doran Harbour will have some words on behalf of TTL after Geshe-la go upstairs. Okay, so please stay put.
Okay. Excuse me, Ray, just a moment, please. On behalf of Geshe-la Gelson and Tupten Dargyeling Monastery and the Board of Directors of Tupten Dargyeling, I would like to express our gratitude and appreciation to all the students who have made kind, generous donations and also have dedicated their great merit that they've created from their practices for the benefit of Tupten Dargyeling's monastery and for Geshe-la's vision for spreading the Dharma through the universe, to pray for his long life and his and to realize, those of us that have taken refuge, that we have a refuge field and we have a merit field, and Geshe-la is really, you know, key to our merit field. And we appreciate your dedication and prayers to Geshe-la's long life and for him to preserve, to be here for the longest term as possible for all of us to appreciate Dharma. And we also appreciate